Good morning, church. Ephesians chapter 1, please. Put this in my pocket. Is that better? Ephesians chapter 1. John Newton, great divine of the 1700s, was lying on his deathbed and was asked, he had something to say, and he said, "My mind now is used up. I don't know much, but two things I do know. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." That's grace. I'm speaking this morning on the subject of great grace. I think sometimes it's hard to wrap our mind around grace. I think there's a lot of misrepresentation in the church today about grace. Some have cheapened grace, made it something it is not. It's not cheap. Cost Christ his lifeblood. It is free. It is unmerited, but it's not cheap. What must grace do? It must justify the ungodly. Or justify has the thought of God viewing you through the righteousness of Christ. You have no righteousness. You don't gain any righteousness. You simply stand in the righteousness of Christ. And when God views you through the righteousness of Christ, he sees you as though you have never sinned. That's being justified. And you're justified freely through the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What must grace do? It must be able to justify you. It must abound toward sinners. That makes almost no sense, doesn't it? Why would God do anything that would abound toward sinners? But the Bible says in the third chapter of the book of Romans, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It abounded towards sinners. God poured out in an abundant flow his grace to mankind. Didn't have to. We didn't deserve it. We shouldn't have gotten it, but God did it. Grace must justify the ungodly. Grace must abound towards sinners. And then I think that we have to realize that grace must impute sin. The word imputation is a New Testament word that means to charge to someone else or charge to someone's account. God had to impute sin. Now there's a wonderful verse in the third chapter of the book of Romans that says, that God chose not to charge to man's account any sin. In fact, it uses the word impute. He did not impute to man sin. But sin had to be imputed. So who did he impute sin to? Whose account did God charge sin to? He charged it to the account of Jesus Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So grace must justify the sinner. Grace must abound toward the sinner. And grace must free the sinner from imputation of sin. Grace is a great act of God. Amen? What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Listen very carefully. It is God doing for you that which you cannot do for yourself and doing it freely. Let me say that again. It is God doing for you that which you cannot do for yourself and doing it freely. You cannot get forgiven yourself. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. It can't be purchased. It's unmerited, therefore it's free, and it costs you nothing but costs God everything. God doing for you that which you cannot do for yourself. What is grace? Grace is lifting that which could not lift itself. You were stuck. I was stuck. We could not get out of the pit we were in. We'd still be there if it were not for Christ. One day Christ showed up, came to the pit of despair, put his hand down, and lifted you out. Graces. Lifting that which could not lift itself. And then grace is releasing from judgment that which could never release itself. Everybody sitting here deserves judgment. We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve to be judged in our sin. We deserve to spend our eternity in hell. But God stepped in, sent his son to pay our sin debt. He was the propitiation, the payment for sin. Not for our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world. Jesus stepped in, paid man's sin debt, and because of that, grace was applied to you and me. It's great grace. Now I want you to look with me at a little verse in this in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 it says this. In whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according, all that happened, according to the riches of his grace, all God's people said. Amen. There are five things mentioned in these first six verses in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 that Christ did. The person of grace is Christ, in whom? Jesus Christ. And there are five statements made here that are marvelous statements. Number one, we were chosen in him, verse 4, all God's people said. Back before time began, God chose you to salvation. I can't explain it. I can't even wrap my mind around it to understand it. But he chose you to be saved. Amen? You didn't deserve it, but he chose you. Verse 4, we were chosen him. Verse 5, we are predestined by him. That, don't be afraid of that word. It means, it's talking about foreknowledge. God knew who would be saved. Amen? God knew you would be saved. When you received Christ, you didn't prove him right. He knew it all along. Amen? Same verse, we are adopted by him, all God's people said. Amen. We had no family but Satan's family. We were orphans. God came along and adopted you into his family. You are now one of God's children, part of his family, related to him. We are chosen by him. We are predestined by him. We are accepted through him. We are adopted by him. The word accepted in verse number 6 means much graced. You like that? Accepted. God just poured on you grace. It was his way of saying, here, you're accepted. And he poured on you grace. Accepted by God. Amen? And then it says we're redeemed by him, verse 7. 5 things. We were chosen. We were predestined. We are adopted. We are accepted. We are redeemed by him. 5 things, all because of grace and all because of Jesus Christ. When it says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Remember, all of those 5 things accrued to you because of Jesus. All God's people said. That's great grace. So we have the person of grace in whom. Then we have the power of grace in whom we have redemption. Listen to this. Through his what? Blood. That's the power of grace. The blood atonement gives grace its power to save. We've sang, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. For you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. All God's people said. In fact, Christ didn't offer many times like the Old Testament saints had to offer. They had to go in once a year, the high priest did every year, to make an atonement for the soul. It was a blood offering. They had to do it every year and repeat it the next year and repeat it the next year and repeat it the next year. The Bible says, but now once in the end, hath he, Christ, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He did it one time, once for all. He shed his blood for you and I. And it's the blood that saves you. Let me just give you 5 things the blood does. You want to write these down. 5 things the blood does. This is important. Number 1, the blood gives us bold access. The Bible says in the 4th chapter of the book Hebrews, wherefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace released you from the past you were in. Grace gave you the ability to come boldly before God, and today you and I can walk into the very presence of God and petition him and talk to him, have fellowship with him, and see him change our lives and move in our lives and do work in our lives because we now have a boldness by grace because of the blood of Christ. The blood removes our condemnation and gives us peace. Number one, the blood gives us bold access. Number two, the blood removes our condemnation and gives us peace. There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I don't have time to read the verse, but read Colossians 1:20. It'll tell you about it. It removes our condemnation and gives us peace. What does the world want? So badly, they want peace. They're looking in all the wrong places to find it. Peace, true peace, inner peace, peace can only be had by coming to Christ and receiving Him as your Savior. And then He can say to you, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God wants to give you peace. And when you accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross, that He atoned for your sin by through His blood, then you can have peace. Number three, the blood cleanses our conscience. It cleanses our conscience. Aren't you glad today that because you have Christ in your life, He no longer holds your sin against you? All God's people said. Amen. He doesn't. He looks at you as though you have never sinned. He's buried your sin in the deepest sea. In fact, He will remember them no more. He can't remember any of your sin. That goes over my head. He cleanses the conscience. All the things before I was saved that were weighing on my conscience and making it hard for me sometimes even to get up in the morning or to go at bed at night, weighed so heavy. Aren't you glad that one day Christ came in and cleansed your conscience? Then, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. What does that say? God gave us through His blood power over Satan. And don't be foolish and think that you're stronger than Satan. But Christ will enable you to live a conquering, victorious life because of the blood. Amen? You can now, today, not be a puppet and let Satan pull the strings. You can be freed from that. Power over Satan. And there's a fifth thing the blood does. It rescues us out of our previous sinful life. It ransoms us from the past. All God's people said. Aren't you glad that your past doesn't rule anymore? I was watching a thing the other day. How many know who Joe Gibbs is? Joe Gibbs owns three cars that race in NASCAR. He's been doing this for years. He's a football coach for years. What some do not know is Joe Gibbs is a wonderful Christian man. He has a wonderful testimony. One of the things that Joe Gibbs Foundation started was a program to go to prisons, win prisoners to Christ, and teach them the Word of God in kind of a seminary format. 300 prisoners across the nation apply every year. Only 30 are chosen. These 30 come to a class. They've arranged it with the... And these are men who are there for murder, who are lifers, who have the most terrible past. And yet, they are now teachers of the Word of God in their prison system because God has freed them from their past. All God's people said. God has done the same thing for you through His blood. He freed you from your past. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Ransomed you from your past position. So we have the person of grace, Jesus Christ. We have the power of grace through His blood. And then we have the provision of grace. Look at that verse. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Here's the provision. The forgiveness of sins, all God's people said. Unbelievable. My sin and despair, one songwriter wrote, Jesus took on Him there, and Calvary covers it all God's people said. The forgiveness of sin. God allowed His Son to come to earth, live 33 and a half perfect years, was turned over to a mocking crowd, condemned to death, crucified, shed His blood, died on the cross, so that you and I can have forgiveness. I don't understand that. But I'm glad He did it. I'm thrilled He did it. The provision of grace is sixfold. Let me give it to you real quickly. Number one, grace removes sin, all God's people said. In three ways, it removes sin's penalty, all God's people said. Don't you want to sometimes just jump up and down and say, thank God I'm not going to hell? Amen. I deserve it. Man, I'm glad I'm not going there. Amen. Well, that's the penalty, and God removed it. He removed sin's penalty. He removed sin's power. The Bible tells us that sin, once we get saved, will not have dominion over you any longer, all God's people said. Don't go out of here thinking you're never going to do anything wrong. We fight with sin all the time, amen? But it does not control you. The only way sin can get a foothold in your life is you let it. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can learn to walk in the light and let Christ direct our path. We can live apart from the power of sin, all God's people said. Grace removes sin's penalty. Grace removes sin's power. I put this down. Grace removes sin's pollution. Everybody sitting here is polluted by sin. It's called defilement, or the damage sin can bring to a life. You don't have to read the newspaper to know this. You don't have to be on Facebook to know this. You don't have to watch the news on TV to know this. But sin pollutes the life. My life and anybody else's life. And the only possible cure for that is Jesus Christ, the only one. And before we get too mad at sinners because they act like sinners, May I suggest to you that Christ died for sinners? He died for all those people that need him most. Sin removes sin's power, sin's penalty, sin's pollution. Grace cleanses the sinner, 1 John 1:9. Grace not only removes sin, but grace cleanses the sinner. Number three, grace justifies the unrighteous. It justifies the unrighteous. That's an unbelievable statement. Listen to this. Grace places us into God's family through reconciliation. We're reconciled to God by Christ. Colossians 1, 20 and 21. Number five, grace covers each individual so that you can never again, listen very carefully, so that you can never again be judged for your sin. Never. All God's people said. Amen. But the devil wants you to think that you're really not forgiven. When you do something wrong, it begins to grate on you and you begin to be bothered by it, and the devil shows up and whispers, a Christian wouldn't do that. You think God's going to forgive that? Think that's how God works? And I want to scream in the devil's ear, yes! That's how God works. He cleanses me so that I never have to be cleansed from my sin again, once for all. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then one more thing, grace secures you a place in heaven, all God's people said. Remember in the 14th chapter book of John, Jesus is talking to the disciples. They're concerned. The 12th chapter, he told them about his demise in Jerusalem. They're all upset. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, all God's people said. The word house in that chapter is the word we get our word home from. Someday we're going home. This world isn't your home. Heaven is. You're just passing through this life to the next, all God's people said. Here's an interesting thing. In the book of Ephesians, grace is expressed in three statements. In 1:7, it's called riches, the riches of his grace. That word riches means an abundant bestowal. Now get this. This is great stuff. 1:7, Ephesians 1:7, an abundant bestowal according to the riches of his grace. God abundantly bestows on you. In chapter 2 and verse 7, it adds a word, the exceeding riches of his grace. And when that word exceeding is added, it means beyond the mark, has the thought of super eminent, something so high you can't get a hold of it, beyond your ability to see it or fully understand it. So you go from the riches of his grace to the exceeding riches of his grace, all God's people said. Then you jump to verse 8 of chapter 3 and he adds another word. He calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ's grace. So we have riches, exceeding riches, unsearchable riches. The word unsearchable is past finding out, all God's people said. The thought is, you can research it, you can study it, you can spend time, you could write your PhD paper on it. You could publish a book about it. You could publish 10 books about it. And you would never begin to exhaust the unsearchable riches of God's grace. Let's not cheapen grace. Let's see it for what it is. It is riches, exceeding riches, unsearchable riches. It cannot be counted up. Grace, simple thing, simple truth, but beyond our realm of imagination to be able to grasp what grace really is. Let us, all of us, revel in the grace of God, all God's people said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace. Real simple message on the grace of God. May we not forget it. May we understand it a little better. And may we just be thankful and grateful for what you've done through your grace to change our lives and make us one of your children. We pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.